Do this in remembrance of me. What does Jesus mean by remembrance? That's what St. Paul said to the Corinthians, that at the Last Supper, Jesus said this, do this in remembrance of me. But what does Jesus mean by remembrance? I mean, our normal English understanding would be that I'm thinking about something that happened in the past. We can do that. You know, we do that here in church. You remember things that happened in the past? Do you remember the time when the pipe burst over here along the wall? Christmas Eve, 2001, before the cathedral was even dedicated, water. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that. I remember a time, I was first ordained, and Monsignor Moore had just proclaimed the gospel, and he was walking down the ramp, I think to preach out front, and one of the clips on a light above came loose, and the light came crashing down and shattered right behind him. Do you remember that, Monsignor? It's hard to forget. But that's not what Jesus was talking about when he took bread, declared that it was his body, and said, do this in remembrance of me. That's not what Jesus was getting at when he took a cup, declared it to be his blood, and said, do this in remembrance of me. You know, he didn't intend for us in June of 2022 to say, hey, do you remember that time when Jesus did that? That was incredible. No, that's not what remembrance means. And the reason we know that that's not what Jesus meant is because the actual word that Jesus used. The Greek word that Jesus used for memory or remembrance was anamnesis. Anamnesis. But the word anamnesis in the Greek context did not just mean, hey, do you remember when? No, the definition of anamnesis is to make a past event become present now. Let me say that again. The definition of anamnesis is to make a past event become present now. Now, St. Paul's words were very precise. As often as you eat this, as often as you drink this, you do it in remembrance of me. In other words, bread and wine did not just become his body and blood at the Last Supper, but at every supper that is the Mass. Part of the very history of this feast, a Corpus Christi, which was started universally about 800 years ago in the 1200s, and part of the reason it was instituted is because many were falling into the danger of thinking of the Eucharist as just a symbol. Yeah. That when we come together for Mass, we hold up bread and it makes us think about when Jesus turned it into his body. You know, we hold up a chalice and it makes us remember when Jesus turned it into his blood a long time ago. And the Feast of Corpus Christi was given to us precisely to know that anamnesis changes it all. Not a remembrance of looking back, but a remembrance of making present now what happened then. If that's the case, then, as we celebrate Corpus Christi, I thought of a few reminders to help us in our actions, to make sure that what we do with communion represents who we receive. So I thought of something simple. Before, during, and after we receive communion. So first of all, something before. So when all of us stand after we sing the great Amen, there's no need to put up your kneeler when you stand, because we're going to use it just a couple minutes later after the Lamb of God. And you notice if everybody's putting up their kneeler, it's just kind of loud and clanky and bangy and distracting. And so what we'll do is when we stand after the great Amen, you don't need to move your kneeler at all. Just leave it in place, because we're going to kneel just a couple minutes later. Secondly, something as we go to communion. So this weekend, you'll see here shortly, that we will return to a distribution of the precious blood at Mass. And it's good to remember that whether you receive just the body of Christ, or just the blood of Christ, or both, that you are receiving all of Jesus Christ, his body and blood, soul and divinity, in the littlest drop or the littlest piece, all of Jesus. So when you come to receive, first thing that we do is we bow in front of, as the person in front of us is receiving the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, we bow to the Blessed Sacrament. And then we say Amen when the priest or the minister says the body of Christ or the blood of Christ. Say Amen like you mean it. And the third thing we do is we receive. If that's the body of Christ, to receive on our tongue or in our hands. If it's the blood of Christ, to receive the chalice firmly with both hands. And to take a small, small sip of the precious blood. And then finally, after you receive communion, you return back to your place for a time of thanksgiving. And you can do that thanksgiving by singing or by silent prayer or both. And you don't have to stop kneeling just because I sit down. When I sit down, you can sit down as well, or you can keep kneeling in thanksgiving, however you choose. You know, all of these directions could be thought of as rules. You know, Father's giving us the rules to follow. I would say rather, let's think of them as ways to live out the anamnesis that happens here at Mass. Not just thinking about when Jesus made his body and blood present long ago, but celebrating when he makes them present here today.